This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Howdy, friends, and welcome to another episode of Rough Draft, your daily dose of essential web writing advice. I am Damian Farnworth, your host, your muse, your digital recluse, and the chief content writer for Copyblogger Media. And thank you for spending the next few minutes of your life with me. And guess what? We've made it to episode 34. Yes. And if you haven't listened to the previous 33, jump back when you get a chance, you know, like this evening when you've got nothing else to do and except put the kids to bed and shove the dishes in the trash and the trash in the dishwasher. Each episode is only 4 to 12 minutes apiece, which means if you started around 10 p.m. and listened straight through without stop, without getting up for the restroom or a snack or a drink, you'd be done by 2 or 3 a.m. just in time to wake up for work. Maybe perhaps that's not such a great idea. Do it in one sitting. So let me just say this. While all the episodes before now are not essential to follow along with today's episode, it is helpful for you as a web writer in the long run. Lots of great resources there for you whenever you get a chance. Now, today we are going to close out our series on essential on-page elements, where we've talked about headlines and bullets and white space and transitional words and so on and so on. And now we are going to close it all out by talking about closers. In other words, how to close an article. The sad thing is that the close of an article, a sales letter, an email is usually an afterthought. It's something we writers rush to get to and wipe our hands clean when we write that last word. That's unfortunate because your close is one last opportunity to flag down a reader barreling through your article. You swept through based upon the headline. He eyed your subheadlines, bullet points, and links. Now, he is eyeing your close, particularly that last sentence. Yeah, there are people who do that, just like people who read the end of a book first. These scanners, what are they doing? And what that means is the close, that last sentence, shouldn't be an afterthought. It should be a striking statement that gets your reader to cock their head and say, wait, did I just miss something? Did I just miss something good? And so here's the thing. There are two phenomenons about memory that get thrown around a lot in psychology and sociology circles, and you've probably heard of them both. One is called the primacy effect, and it's basically just the idea that people tend to remember the beginnings better than the middle. They remember the beginnings of lists, of numbers, or names, or facts, rather than the middle. But the other one, the one we care about today, is called the recency effect, meaning people tend to remember endings more than the middle. In other words, what you say first and last matters. People will remember your openings, and they will remember your endings too. The middle? Sorry, not so much. This is like something Sasha Molitores said in a 2003 article. She writes, when a film resolves itself well, audiences leave satisfied and content, even if the preceding 90 minutes have been uninspiring. If, however, the climax is forced or implausible, the preceding scenes will be stripped of any poignancy. So lesson one, nail the ending. But how do you do that? Fortunately, I've got 5 tips for you. One, shrink the change. This is an idea introduced by one of our contributing writers, Henneke. And what she means when she says shrink the change is kind of this idea of one small step can change your life in a manageable call to action. So instead of asking your audience to end world hunger, which is big and vague and nebulous and impossible, much better to simply say, start buying an extra canned good every time you go shopping and take it to your nearest food drive. It's simple, easy to do, and that's shrinking the change. Another great way to end an article is to summarize the conclusion. See, when people read, we know this again from just eye-tracking studies, that people will read the headline, and then people will scan the article and then read the ending because they're looking and hoping for that summary. Give them a summary of what you just wrote. Three, end with a cliffhanger. You know, your ending where you keep something away from the reader, where you initiate an action, you drive the cliff. No, you drive the car off the cliff. But then you end the article or the episode right there. And in order to relieve that tension, your reader or listener or viewer has to see the next episode or read the next article. That's a cliffhanger. Four, end with a question, a contemplative question. You want to send the reader away feeling like they may not be as smart as they think they are, but perhaps they are missing something. So your last sentence is of the, is this really as important as we think it is? Variety. Finally, the ending of a good article feels like the click of a box shutting, so that there's closure to it. And what I mean by this is if you've referred back to something you mentioned in the beginning, so you come full circle. Let's say you open the article with a story about a character named Ingrid. In the middle, you launch into the crux of the problem you are addressing, and then once the audience has completely forgotten about the opening and Ingrid, during the close, you trot Ingrid back into the picture, meshing the opening and the middle idea into a new whole thing that springs a new whole thought into the head of the reader, one that makes him say, aha, this makes the article feel like one long connected idea, fluid, seamless, coherent. So that's five ways to close an article or sales letter or email, anything you write, in fact, or anything you record for that matter, like podcasts. So with that in mind, let me end with this thought.
When I write, I feel like an armless, tagless man with a crayon in his mouth.
Well, if you're curious, you'll find out in the next episode of Rough Draft. Until then, take care.